Acts chapter 8, verses 4 through 8. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Did you preach this week? Were you scattered this week? Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Christ there. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the miraculous signs he did, they all paid close attention to what he said. With shrieks, evil spirits came out of many, and many paralytics and cripples were healed, so that there was great joy in that city. Lord, I pray for your joy in this place this morning. Lord, I pray your presence in this place, Lord. I pray for healing in this building this morning, Lord. I pray, Lord, a hedge of protection about this place, Lord. I bind every distraction of the enemy in the name of Jesus. I pray that you would come here this morning, Lord, and that you would equip us the same way you equipped Philip, Lord, to go out and push back the kingdom of darkness, to be a preacher of the kingdom of light. Lord, I thank you that I have stepped into the kingdom of light. Lord, I thank you that the kingdom of light is all around us this morning. I thank you that darkness recedes in the presence of light. I thank you, Lord, that you have come to guide us today. We can come as a small child in Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen.
Now, I've had a car problem in that my car motor has blown up. Can I get a witness on that? That is indeed a car problem?
Yes.
Yes, motor blowing up is a problem. Mr. Fit, Tommy Banks, has indeed blessed me with a car to use till the end of the month. And I got a problem with Tommy's car, and I got a problem with Joe's car. We switch it off. Is they don't get any radio reception. And so I got my phone. I got this, I do this internet phone thing and radio thing. And I'm listening to, I got 1170 on my phone. And who's ever heard of Michael Prager? Michael Prager. Anybody? Hand up high. Hi. That's it. 4, 5, 5. Well, he's a Jewish guy, and he's smart. My wife likes Michael Prager, and she says he's just really smart, and she likes where he's coming from. Well, he was not very smart on Friday. In fact, I was ready to climb into my radio, actually Tommy's radio, on Friday, because this Christian lady calls up the Jewish guy on the radio to ask where she can find a good Christian church. Now, I just want to let you folks know that if you want to find a good Christian church, don't ask a Jewish guy. They don't know. So he's talking, and she's concerned about hell, and she's concerned about judgment, and she's concerned about all this harshness that she finds in the church. I guess not much hilarity going on at some of the churches that she's going on to. And Prager comes up to her with this incredibly, I'm not going to use the adjective I'm thinking of, this statement that says, well, 90%, she's concerned about heaven and hell. He says 90% of Bible-believing Christians have no clue who is going to hell and who's going to heaven. And I'm thinking, what? And he says, because they said God's the only one who knows. And I'm like, okay, but what an incredible misuse of that text. And then I did some research on him, and he's written a book on the Ten Commandments. Right, and he actually teaches the Pentateuch. He's been teaching the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, in Hebrew for the last 10 years. And I'm thinking, how can this guy be so dense? Because he comes up, his statement on the Ten Commandments. The guy who wrote the book on the Ten Commandments is the best moral code out there. Okay, I can roll with that. He says, humanity has everything it needs to create a good world. And there is in this statement, God kind of sets you up with what you need, and now he's done. His statement to this Christian woman looking for the Christian church that's going to really guide her in life is, all God really wants from you is to have a moral, monotheistic God. And this is from the guy who's a student of the Ten Commandments. Bible tells us that God gave the Ten Commandments so that we could be in right relationship with Him. Not so that we can leave Him behind and go build a wonderful world. One of the texts that he did not quote in the Ten Commandments books, I don't think, is the great Shema of Israel. He says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." I don't get that out of an ethical, moralistic, monotheistic God. I get that out of a God who would send His Son to die on a cross that we might be transformed in our very existence. Can I get a witness on that? And so, I was a little disappointed with Michael Prager on Friday. My wife's out of town. She's at a minister's wives retreat. I'm going to talk to her about Michael when she gets back. And realistically, how far wrong can he be? We are in a series called The Power of Pentecost. And Pentecost Sunday is indeed next Sunday. It commemorates the day that the Spirit was poured out on the disciples and the church was born. Acts chapter 2, Peter preached to a crowd, great crowd in Jerusalem, all Jews, and they surrendered their past and moved into a new future with the Lord Jesus Christ at the head. This is an Assemblies of God church. How many of you knew that this is an Assemblies of God church? How many of you have no clue what the Assemblies of God is? It's a Pentecostal denomination, which finds its roots in the Pentecostal revival that started on Azusa Street in 1906 and moved through 1915. Foundations of the Assemblies of God founded in 1914, very much Pentecostal, very much focused on the power of the Holy Spirit moving in the lives of believers that make an impact in their lives and in the lives around them. Amen? You know, and I think last year, in fact, there were 3 million people that attended Assemblies of God Church in the United States. You think, wow, that's pretty good. That is pretty good. Today we read about Philip. Today I was struck by Philip preaching in Samaria, Acts chapter 8. Been looking at him all week, preaching with power, preaching with truth, preaching with the presence of the Holy Spirit. Miracles done by Philip. Demons cast out by Philip. And Philip was not even an apostle. He was one of the 7 that was chosen. Acts chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. Says, "Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom." Continuing on, it says, "We will turn this responsibility." They were passing out food the way we do on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and the way that we do the co-op that we've done. And there's for those of you that are involved, there's a clothing swap this Wednesday. I hope you're enjoying the food that you got last Wednesday. And there was a lot of food that was going on in the church in Jerusalem. There's a lot of food going on in the church here because there's a lot of need. Can I get a witness on that? And so what was happening with the apostles is they were becoming overwhelmed with the needs, and some of the ladies weren't being treated the way they wanted to be treated. It was a big commotion. So they said, grab 7 guys. Philip was one of the guys. Stephen was one of the guys. And the requirements, they said, just pick anybody who's full of the Holy Spirit and has wisdom and is wise. And I see what Philip was doing in Samaria, preaching the word, and I'm thinking, I want to be like Philip. I want to be able to move in the power of the Holy Spirit. He prayed for people and they were healed. Anybody want to see that? How many of you would be open to having that gift. Because some people say, whoa, man, it's a little close to the fire for me, right? Be able to just come on Aaron Bugs and say, just, Lord Jesus, in the name of Jesus, heal this man. Bam. Whoa, I don't know. About the casting out the demons part. Oh, no, Pastor. That's a little close to the fire for me. I just as soon pretend like those demons don't really exist. I did some stats. I cut them out. I'll share them with you. Nowhere in the Bible is there a recording of any demon dying. Nowhere in the Bible is there a recording of any demon being bound. Yet, they will be bound, but there's none bound. So, where am I going with this? Is there just as many demons running around today as there were back in Jesus' day? Now, the population of the world was 285 million people in the time of Jesus. It is 7 billion today. Every person, well, that's an increase of 25 times. Which means what? The demons are spread out 25 times thinner. But they're still just as challenging. Amen? The only thing that Philip needed, man of wisdom, man full of the Holy Spirit. You can be wise. You can be full of the Holy Spirit. And in my mind, we can be just like Philip. Amen? The title of today's message is A Person of Power. You know, it's kind of a thin amen there. That was not a powerful amen. It was like, where are you going with this today? I had a prayer this week. I said, Lord, you know, I don't know if shrieks and demons and all this stuff, healing. I said, Lord, what do you want? I'm over the new prayer on Thursday. Lord, whatever you want today, it's fine. And you know what? There's a lot of pressure come off your shoulders when you pray that prayer. Lord, whatever you want. I was praying that this morning. Lord, whatever you want. Whatever you want. Whatever you want, Lord. All right, here we go. The cost of the cause. The cost of the cause. Going back to the beginning of chapter 8, says, on that day, a great persecution broke out against the church. They're talking about the day that Stephen was stoned. Stephen was also one of the seven that was selected because he was full of wisdom and he was full of the Holy Spirit. So, Philip was Stephen's buddy, and Stephen was stoned because he was preaching so hard. Stoned means he was killed. He was thrown and rocks were piled on him until he was dead. So on that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him. But Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off men and women and put them in prison. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Preachers on the run. Preachers on the run. They were running from persecution. There was a price for their salvation. All their former buddies, because they were all Jews at this point, all their friends began to persecute them, rat them out, and turn them over to Paul. I got these doors open. If you want to go back over there, Ophelia, we got you, girl. The first persecution that the Christians experienced were from the hands of the Jews, because that's where they were leaving. It was not so different from what we see Christians experiencing today. This is a map of the Muslim world. And you can see that there's a whole lot of Muslims around. See, India right here. A lot of Hinduism there. But when you read about ISIS. Here's Iraq and Syria. Killed anywhere in, I mean, you are living dangerously if you go anywhere in those countries as a Christian. And that same persecution that we are seeing now at the hands of ISIS, they were seeing back in the day. And these guys, they were losing their homes. They were being thrown in prison. Stephen was killed. So the same type of stuff that we see was going on them is going on today. Today, 500,000 Christians have fled in Iraq and Syria the past several years. See, similar persecution in Sudan. And the Bible tells us that as you get saved, that there is going to be persecution that will be coming after you. And we are seeing it. We see it in Acts chapter 8, and we see it in the world today. You would think that with this attack, that the church would fail. But the message continued to come. And back in the day, and dare I say, in these countries, the message of the kingdom is not tied to physical comfort. These Christians, back in Acts chapter 8, Philip, and these Christians that live in Iraq and Iran and ISIS countries, Muslim countries today, are not Christians for their gain. They are Christians because it is the truth. And sometimes there's a cost associated with the truth. Amen? So you can address that and you can say, Lord, whatever you want today, guide me. Sometimes there's a penalty. Sometimes there's a cost. Philip was paying that cost. Philip was paying that price. Reading on chapter 8, verse 5. Philip went down to a city in Samaria, proclaimed the Christ there. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the miraculous signs he did, they all paid close attention to what he said. With shrieks, evil spirits came out of many, and many paralytics and cripples were healed, so that there was great joy in that city. And God gave Philip power for a platform for the truth. Notice when Philip showed up in Samaria, he was not trying to set himself up with a job. He was not trying to set himself up with a house. He was not trying to get over the commotion that happened in his life because he was treated so poorly in Jerusalem. And that seems very different than how we would probably respond to a lot of drama that we have. Amen? What happened with Philip is he arrived in Samaria and says, "Let me tell you about Jesus." And they're like going, "Is this the guy why you're here? Is this the reason that people are getting arrested and why people are losing their houses and all that stuff? We really don't want to hear that much." Because of what? Because of the cost that is associated with the truth. And so because of the resistance to that cost, there is a power that comes alongside Philip, and he is able to come along and say, "Aaron Bugs, in the name of Jesus, be healed." And it says, because of all the miraculous signs that he did, that the people paid great attention to him. That because of the persecution that he had, he was able to bring great joy to that city in Samaria. We're going to find out in a minute why that joy was able to be spread out in Samaria. Because they were being deceived. They were being led astray. God gives Philip a platform for truth, and he says, "Lord, whatever you want today, I'm your man. I'll preach your word." Power of God changed their situations. Power of God brought joy to that city. And you know today, Aaron doesn't need me to come and heal him. because he can just go to the doctor. We got universal health care. Most of you have health care because it's required by law. We don't really need to come to the church for prayer because we can just go to the doctor and we can be healed. And the demonic, hey, they're spread out 25%. They used to be in that back in the day. We don't really see that. Realistically, we are so sophisticated that we really don't need the power of the Lord anymore. We can get by without the power of God. Convenience and money have replaced our need for God. I was looking at the internet this morning. Windows 10. Coming out, I want to say in August. I don't really know. It just popped up. It was on my spam on my email. What got my eye, I said Windows 10 for free. I like anything for free. Anybody like anything for free? Oh yeah. And realistically, almost every platform will receive a free upgrade to Windows 10. And the big trick is it will link your laptop, your tablet, your phone, and even going to have these holo glasses that will have holograms, and you'll be able to just see the whatever. Anybody heard of these things yet? You know, you got the Google Watch, right? Well, Windows is going to have holo glasses, so you can just see stuff that nobody else can see. We have become so complicated. We no longer have room for God. And I'll tell you what, that's a great plan of the enemy. He says, how do I attack the United States? Well, that whole Muslim thing's not working here yet. So we'll just make them rich, and they won't need God. How about you? What do you think about that prayer? Lord, whatever you want today, I'm yours. That takes a lot of complication out of the way, amen? All right, let's keep going. Truth makes a change. Maybe you came here today for a change. Maybe you came here today because you had a change. Verses 9 through 11. Now for some time, a man named Simon. Maybe you came here because you got a Simon in your life. It says that sometime a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in the city and amazed all the people of Samaria. He boasted that he was someone great. And all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention and exclaimed, this man is the divine power, known as the great power. They followed him because he had amazed them for a long time with his magic. Finding the truth in the middle of a lie. I was in the middle of the lie when I found the truth. Anybody else? See, because the lie will get you all twisted and turned around. The lie will get you your priorities all mixed up. Their priorities were all mixed up. In Samaria, they had put Simon at the top of the list. He is the great power. He is the divine power. And up comes Philip with a greater power. Amen? Bible says, 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. And if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior this morning, there is a power from heaven that is in you and available to you if you would, Lord, whatever you want today. Surrender to that power, move in that power, and be bold enough to step close to the fire and say, in the name of Jesus, be healed. All those people in Samaria said, whoa, we got a new show in town. What's up with Simon? They were drawn by the magic of Simon, and they were drawn by the power of Philip, the miracles of Philip, to the truth of God. They saw the miracles of Philip. They realized they were following the wrong guy. This is not the great power. Let's find out what's up with Philip. What made Philip different? Full of the Holy Spirit, full of wisdom. This morning, you want to be transformed? Full of the Holy Spirit, full of wisdom. That was your only requirements for Philip. I want to be like Philip, amen? Lord, whatever you want. Whatever you want, Lord. So the people are reorganizing their priorities. They are paying attention to what Simon is saying, and their lives are all messed up, man. You got demons all over the place. You got the great power. You got all this stuff. See, when you start buying into the lie, your priorities get all mixed up. Amen? Amen? Line up on the Lord. He'll straighten your priorities right out. Can I get a witness on that? All right, let's keep on going. God puts truth on display. But when they believed Philip, as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized. Both men and women, just like what we're going to do up here next Sunday. Both men and women, Simon himself believed. Now that's what I call a transformation, amen? When you got the great power saying, hey, I got to realign on something else. Because Philip has got something going on. And he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw. Samaritans shifted off to the lie and onto the truth. And when they were believed, they were baptized in water. That water baptism is a repudiation of your past. I am done. Basically, we're done with Simon. We're done with the great power. We're done with the great divine power. We're done with all that stuff. Philip, you show us the way to go. He says, we're going to baptize you in water. When you do that, you wash away. It is like you are dying to that old life and you're being raised to new life and new truth in Christ. Now, when you do that, when I did that, I did not fully understand where I was headed, but I knew that I sure wanted to go that way. Amen? So you don't need to know everything about what's going to happen in the next 20 years as you follow the Lord Jesus Christ. You just have to be sure that you want to make a change and that Jesus Christ is the one that you are going to follow. Amen? Amen. So that is what has happened in Samaria. And these people are transformed. Their priorities are transformed. There is change. It happens. There, and when you find the change in your life, there's a cost to that change. Can you imagine the cost to Simon? Simon was the big wig. And he says, I'm not that guy anymore. I'm following Philip just like the rest of you. When you come to the Lord, there will be a great cost. Because the truth will set you free from the lie, and there's all kinds of stuff that goes with the lie. Truth comes with a cost. For Jesus, it was the crucifixion. For Stephen, it cost him his life. For Philip, it cost him his house. Problem in the United States, we have made truth cheap. Truth has very little cost. So it has very little value. And almost anything can get in our way. Say, Lord, oh, let me take this phone call. Lord, what, oh, excuse me, let me get this email. Lord, whatever, oh, it's night already. And I've lost my day. Lord, whatever you want tomorrow, I'll give you. And that so often becomes the cost. Not much. Leanne told me a story of, I think, some guy that spoke at her school, and they had this desire to go work with Mother Teresa. And they had no clue how to hook up with Mother Teresa, couldn't find her, you know. So they just started calling various nuns. You know, they just looked up any nun and said, we're trying to find Mother Teresa. So we're not supposed to do this, but here's her phone number. You know, so they called this phone number expecting to get a secretary. It's like, hello, Mother Teresa. And like, hey, we want to come in and work for you. And he says, well, you get to Calcutta, man. You can work. I'll find something for you to do. So they do. They show up. And there's Mother Teresa, and they put her to work in Calcutta, put these guys to work. And they're noticing how plain she is and all this stuff. And they're talking to some of the other people, and they're talking about Mother Teresa. They were just there for like the summer or something. And they're talking to some of the people, and the one person says, did you notice her feet? I said, yeah, man, they're all messed up. They said, well, we get all these shoes donated for the orphanages and care for the poor and all this stuff. And she will go through and pick out the worst shoes in the pile. And those are the ones that she takes for herself. And she does that so all the people that we serve get the better shoes. And that's why her feet look like that. Cost for the truth. When there's no cost, there is no value. And in the United States, we've taken away the cost of truth. So there is no value. And few of us say, Lord, whatever you want, use me today. Cost Philip a bunch. Cost Stephen a bunch. Cost Jesus a bunch. What's it cost you? Verse 14, when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John. Check it out. Okay, Samaria, realistically, they hate Samaria. But they're not really liking the Jews so much because they're being attacked, and Jesus and the Holy Spirit has changed their hearts, so now they have a great desire and burden for the Samaritans. And when the apostles heard, when the church in Jerusalem had heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. And when they arrived, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them. They had simply been baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. And the church in Jerusalem wanted to see the Samaritans moving towards the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So I want you to notice a couple of things here that are significant. One, the Samaritans are headed to heaven. They are saved. They are set free from sin. They have new lives in Christ. Yet, they are lacking the Holy Spirit being poured out upon them. They have transformed their priorities. They have transformed their existence. They have left their carnal lives behind. But there is another step for all these brand new Samaritan believers to take, and that is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That is what happened and occurred on Azusa Street between 1906 and 1915. That is what birthed the movement called the Assemblies of God today, where 3 million people showed up in Assemblies of God churches last year. The power of the Holy Spirit. And they said, you made a great first step, but there's more to go. Are you tracking with me? Is everybody just tripping out going, whoa? We okay?
Yes.
That's what I need right there, Tommy. All right. I'll take that. I'll just keep going now. Baptism of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. House was shaken by the believers. Talked about this last week. Acts chapter 4. We're going to find out. See, there was an expectation of the presence of the Holy Spirit in the lives of and in the communities of believers. We're going to see in Acts chapter 10... in Cornelius' house, in a Gentile home. The Samaritans were half-Jews, known as half-breeds. And I'll kind of let them in. Cornelius' house was Greeks, and the Holy Spirit is poured out upon them and is manifested by speaking in tongues. Paul shows up in Ephesus, finds some disciples there, and says, hey, did you guys receive the power of the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said, we didn't even know there's a baptism of the Holy Spirit. And he said, well, what baptism did you receive? He says, we received the baptism of John. Acts chapter 19, he says, let me get you guys hooked up. Explains to them the baptism of the Holy Spirit, prays for them, and they receive the Holy Spirit, and they speak in tongues. There is this power. Philip is moving in the Spirit, casting out demons. He is healing the sick. He is filled with the Holy Spirit and filled with wisdom. Pentecost. It's important. It was so important that the church in Jerusalem says, John, Peter, get up there. Now, Peter and John were the heavy hitters in the early church. They were the top, creme de la creme. Get up there. Samaria is too important. They go up there. Samaria needs to take a second step. Baptism of the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you so that you can do parlor tricks. No. you can receive, you will receive the power of the Holy Spirit to be a witness. Philip is in Samaria casting out demons, healing the sick so he can displace Simon? No, so he can preach the gospel. And they paid what? Attention to him. Why? Because cast out demons and healed the sick. It's a combo. The church in Jerusalem says, we cannot have a dynamic church in Samaria without the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Peter and John, get up there. God is the great power. They need to line up on him. Lord, whatever you want. See, in the United States, it's like, well, that's not really comfortable for me. And you know what? God's not really so interested in your comfort. Can I get a witness on that? It's not like God is up there going, I don't want to threaten those guys with anything. You know, let me just keep them protected in their little cocoon. Yes, I don't want them to, you know, be afraid or I don't want them to see anything that's really going to concern them. I just want them to be like in a little cocoon. No, he says, man, there's demons around you. There's sin. There's destruction. I'm not going to shield you from that. I'm going to equip you to pass right through it. And as you pass through, you'll be a witness for me. Amen? Amen. Said, Lord, whatever you want. Lord, whatever you want from me today, use me. It'll unload you, and it'll load you at the same time. Amen? Yes. All right, last thing we got going on. The Samaritans take the next step. When Peter and John placed their hands on them, they received the Holy Spirit. Amen. Everywhere the church goes, the Holy Spirit is there following. The church goes to Cornelius' house, baptism of the Holy Spirit. Church goes to Ephesus, baptism of the Holy Spirit. Church goes to Samaria, baptism of the Holy Spirit. It was normal. It was expected. That's why Peter and John went, and that is why they prayed, and that is why God showed up. Power of God, the truth of God will change people's lives. Problem is, in the United States, there's not so much power. There's just a lot of truth. And that truth is getting watered down to everybody can have a little bit. All you really need to have is a moralistic, monotheistic God. That's all you need. Come on, Michael Prager. That's a load of malarkey. You can look that word up later. My grandpa used to use that. Philip, man, a radical dude, radically transformed by the Spirit of God. I got to think, Lord, whatever you want, man, continue reading in Acts chapter 8, man, he's led the Ethiopian eunuch. God uses him in just an incredibly mighty way. Why? Because he was full of the Holy Spirit and he was full of wisdom. And there is nothing that makes him any different from you except being full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. My question for you today is, do you want the Holy Spirit? And do you want wisdom? And do you want to be like Philip? Lord, whatever you want. You can have me today. Use me today. There's a cost. Because he could send you to Bolivia. He could. He sent me here. Left my family, left my home, gave me a new family. You get that, Lord, whatever you want from me today, you can have. He'll guide you. One third of all millennials, that's I think people that have been born since 2000, reject the gospel. That is like sky high. My kids born in like 96 and 90, 95 and 96. When are you guys born? You got it? Yeah, got to guess every once in a while. My wife knows that stuff. Now, all the youth around here, man, they've got transsexualism. You got Bruce Jenner. Come on now. How many of you guys know Bruce Jenner was an Olympic athlete? Yes. Yeah, right? Can I get a witness on that? Yeah. I mean, all kinds of people don't even know he was in the Olympics. He's just like related. I never knew he was on the Kardashian show because I've never seen the Kardashian show. And now he's turning into a woman. I tell you what, that can be a little bit confusing, amen? And you know, when you got a church, it's got no power. When you got a church and nobody's paying a price for truth, hey, man, all we need is a monotheistic, moralistic God, and you're fine. 3 million sons of God people last year. Big deal, amen? 3 million. Worldwide, 67 million sons of God. Number of believers in the United States, sons of God last year, decreased. Number of believers last year, worldwide believers exploded. Why? Power of God combined with the truth of God. Question is, do you want it? Can you pray that prayer? Lord, whatever you want today. You come in here today surrendered. Lord, whatever you want. Empowered, Lord, equip me. Lord, I'll go to dangerous spots. I want to be like Philip. I want to be an agent of transformation, an agent of change. There will be a cost. Lord, I'll pay the cost. I remember going forward on a Sunday night. Man, you can come up here and play this guitar or something. Guy was preaching. Says, some of you are being called to serve God with your whole lives. And I said, God, I will serve you. Just don't send me to some boring, white, middle-class church. I have never one time served in a boring, white, middle-class church. My wife sometimes says, boring, middle class, sounds pretty good. There's a cost. There is a cost. And you know what? To be transformed in your existence and your priorities by the presence of the Holy Spirit requires a cost. To come to the Lord and say, God, I open the rest of my my whole calendar for today. Make the prayer in the morning. Lord, I give you the whole day. What do you want? I don't want to miss what you got for me. I want to be like Philip. Lord, whatever you got, Lord. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to have wisdom. I want to be radical for you, Lord. I want to tell people about you. I see Aaron Bugs over there telling people about the Lord all the time. Some of you come in here this morning and pray. You've been buying the lie. Right now the Lord is just saying, you're just buying the lie, buddy. My son, my daughter, you're off track. You've been so off track. Your life is so complicated just because you're just following a lie. I have shown you my truth over and over again, and you have said, no, I don't want it. I don't want it. I don't want it. Cost is too big. Got relationships I'm in. I want to get high. I want to go to the bar. I want to do whatever I want to do. Cost is too high. He says, okay, you can have the lie, but this morning I'm offering you truth. Nobody's looking around this morning. The Lord is offering you new life. He says, my son died on the cross for you. My Holy Spirit will come and guide and direct you in your choices. In fact, right now, the Lord is opening your heart is because of an act of the Holy Spirit. You're saying, Lord, whatever you want, I'm your man. Whatever you want, I'm your woman. I want to be your daughter. I want to be your son. Came in here lost. You don't want to believe the lie anymore. God's speaking to your heart. Just want you to slide your hand up and say, that's me this morning. Here, there, there. Anybody else say, that's me? Anybody else? Saw those in the back. You're good. You put your hands down. That's fine. Anybody else? You're here this morning. You have taken the first step. You know, I've accepted the Lord. I've moved.